Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, because he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And let us not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. I started to say online, but I don't think I'll say that. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see that day approaching. God bless you.
The reason I have a stool is I don't want to keel over with my leg up here. I am scheduled for surgery May 8th. And I was going to tell you, while my brother Wes is doing this, that since it's been a while since we met, and I was on the operating table, ready to have my surgery, when the doctor whispered in my ear, "I'm sorry, we can't do your surgery today." They already had got ready to put anesthesia and all that. He said it's going to be another month or another 3 weeks. So anyway, God is good. No matter what happens in life, thank you, my brother. God is good. Amen. I'm going to have the water from you as ever. Ah, thank you. You don't mind me sitting on a stool, do you? I've got you. Have you moved those flowers? Because you have a sermon outline for today, and I'm calling it 10 Impact Statements from the Apostle Paul. Really, it's based on your identity in the family of God. Before I begin, I want you to turn to Psalm 119 and verse 37. Psalm chapter 119 and verse 37. And when you have it there, just hold up your Bible. Would you do that, please? Psalm 119 and verse 37. I memorized this scripture. I was really down one day, and I memorized this scripture. And I'll tell you how I did it. I used the word tame, T-A-M-E. Tame. There you go. Here it is. Turn away my eyes from looking at what? Worthless things, and revive me in your way. I'm tired, God, of looking at things that do not matter. I'm tired of spending my life with trivial things. What you believe helps determine how you behave. Do you agree with that? We show our trust when we translate our learning into living. Actually, God gifts each one of us with gifts. In Romans chapter 12, where we will spend the abundance of our time, talks about those gifts. It's the body, the whole body, from the head to the arms, the shoulders, the eyes, and the heart. The reason we experience, I want you to catch this, people flow in the Seventh-day Adventist Church has to do with our inner relationships together. I talked with a pastor friend of mine a few years ago who was pastoring in Primeville, Oregon. He told me about one of his churches in Colorado that at one time had 150 people attending. Listen carefully. And now have between 8 and 10. What happened? I asked. His response was amazing. A movement began in the church to cleanse the church from impure influences. One individual said, we need to point out sin in the church. Listen carefully. So pointed out they did, and all the sinners left. And the only ones left were the holy ones who spent their time encouraging each other to stay holy. Here's my point. When the church focuses on its failures or the failures of one another, we have no time spending to reach out for the lost. In fact, we become a graceless group. I told my friend one day, we need a fresh view of God's grace, to be totally in love with Jesus, to the extent that we put Him first in our lives, and the church will not be just a place to visit once a week, but the presence of the saved. First John 4:20 says, if anyone says, I love God, and I want you to catch this, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love a God he has not seen. Raise your hand if you agree with that. How can I say I love you if I hate my brother? How can I say I love God if I hate my brother? I haven't seen God, but I see Him. I think we need to do a lot of repenting in the church. What do you think about that? Sometimes, when it boils down to it, love is a key issue. Listen to this. Here's a little sidebar, a little levity. When asked, do you think all any of us really want deep down is to be loved? Garrison Keillor responded, no, we want to be rich, we want to be admired, we want to eat like a horse and be as skinny as a snake. To have small children ask for our autographs. To be on terrific medications that make us calm and witty and sexy. To sing Irving Berlin and Gershwin and Porter at the Oak Room and described in Times as a luminous, but in absence of all of that, I guess it's enough to be loved. Jesus has given us a command that we love one another. Mrs. White makes a statement in Last Day Events, page 156. By the way, I've read that book about five times. There are five books I've read over and over again. Why in the world, Pastor, would you read a book five times? Because it's relevant. Because the truth does not change. It changes us. And she writes, listen carefully. How often the professed advocates of truth prove to be the greatest obstacles to its advancement. Unbelief indulged, doubts expressed, and darkness encourage the presence of evil angels and open the way for the accomplishments of Satan's desires. Doubts expressed. Well, I'm not sure we're the Church of God. Look at how we are. A lady one day said to me, There's so many sinners in the church, it's hard to know which one is holy. And then I asked, which one are you? Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Russell Burrows written a book entitled Waking the Dead, in which he addresses the reason that many Adventist churches are dying. Listen, he believes there exists a close relationship between the church's self-understanding of why it exists and how individual members relate to each other. What's interesting is how Russ Burrows views spiritual gifts and their importance in the church. I've taught spiritual gifts since 1979. I've had that many church growth seminars. I'd like to suggest that it's not as important to identify a particular gift you have than to understand how God orients you in the family of God. His point is, it's more important to discover my place in the body of Christ than it is to find my own calling. You have to find where you are. Listen to this, another levity. Before heading on a family hike, we stood at the trailhead reviewing a map pinned to the bulletin board. A red arrow on the map said, "You are here." And it caught the eye of my six-year-old daughter. Pointing to it, she asked, "How do they know we're here?" Well, if you don't know you're here, how does anybody else know you're here? One of the main obstacles to growing the church has to do with people flow. So I want to look at what Paul has to say. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Let us read together. How many of you love the Word of God? Oh, don't you love the Bible? Amen. Give me the Bible. Give me the Bible. Romans chapter 11 and verse 36. For of him and through him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is acceptable and perfect will of God. Good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Oh, how we love the Word of God in the Bible. Oh, I love the Bible. All right, I'm going to go through these 10 impact statements. You have your sermon notes? Oh, it sounds simple. You say, yeah, this is a simple sermon. Well, you could say I'm a simple pastor, maybe, but simple things are often very, very complicated, and complicated things are often very simple. Ever take a child to an ice cream place and ask what kind of ice cream they would like? Well, what do they have? Strawberry, vanilla, chocolate, cherry, you go on and on and on, and they look at you and say, "I'll have vanilla." Yes, I am a little bit on the down-to-earth side, but I don't believe I'm simple. All right, here are the statements I want you to write in your notes. Number one, you have it there, be sincere and real. Sincere and real. I love that. Be sincere and be real. Romans 12 and verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to that which is good. Paul in Romans 12, 1 through 6, especially verses 6 through 8, talks about the body, the eye, the shoulders, the hands, the arms, the heart. You know, the Bible says the eye is the lamp of what? The window of heaven. I was at a McDonald's one day, and a young girl, about 16, beautiful, big, bright blue eyes, looked at me. "Hi, mister, how are you?" And I said, I'm great. "Did you know?" "Do I know what?" "That you have eyes that reflect the windows of heaven." Her face got serious. She said, "I do." "Yes." And I said, on top of that, there are beautiful blue. And then I talked to her about Jesus. Cars piled up in back of me. Who is this? Not get him out of there. But I had a chance to talk to a young girl and let her know how precious she was in the sight of God. And the observation here, Romans 12:9, we just read, the observation is to avoid hypocrisy. Avoid hypocrisy. In the early 1900s, and should I say, the late 1800s, they would not have theater as we have it. They would have live theater. How many of you know what I'm talking about? An opera. And someone would come out and hold up a mask. And you would try to guess who they were. These masks, by the way, today, some are in the Smithsonian Institute, and they're very, very valuable. But you know what the mask does? It masks who you really are. Who are you? Who are you? Who really are you? Who are you really? The Bible says in Acts 2:46, continuing daily with one accord, in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. There was a contagious fellowship in the early church. Would you say amen to that? We need that contagious fellowship so that when people come to church, they cannot wait for the next Sabbath. Dr. Charles E.E. Cleveland, have you ever heard of him? He was a black preacher. He would lisp when he spoke. He would lisp. He said, I'm married to a chocolate girl. Well, he was black. A chocolate drop, he said. He said, "Mama, she's as black as can be. And when she came down with a sort of Alzheimer's, she would say, 'Cleveland, yes, dear, can we go to church? Honey, it's only Monday.' Tuesday, she would ask, 'Can we go to church?' 'No, honey, it's not the Sabbath.' Every day, he said, for Mama was the Sabbath. That's the kind of experience I want."
Amen. All right, let's wind through this. Number nine.
I'll let you read James chapter 3. Number two, treat others with brotherly love. Treat others with brotherly love. Brotherly love. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. I know we ought to be careful of how we display our emotion, but people are desperately in need of a touch. Do you know what I hated about COVID? I couldn't take it anymore. Because I have to hug. I have to kiss on the cheek. Because I kiss men on the cheek does not mean that I have a diverted sexuality. It's because I love people. I love you. And I know you love me. Give one another a heavenly kiss. Be loyal. That's the observation. You have to be loyal to each other. When someone tells you something that is very private, and you know they trust you, how do you react? Do you file that away in file 13 in the back of your mind? Or do you find it irresistible to share it? I remember a lady asking me one day, did you remember when I told you? I said, no, I filed it in 13 and I forgot it. She said, oh, Pastor Rocky, you're something else. I said, I am something else. That's true. Number three, honor the wishes of others over your own. Honor the wishes of others over your own. And the observation is give preference, surrender your desires. Chuck Swindoll, he said, with many people who are very capable, they ask the question, who am I? How can I make a difference? How many were chosen by God to confront Pharaoh and lead the Exodus? One. How many sheep got lost? One. How many did the Lord use to get the attention of the land of Palestine and prepare for the way for the Messiah? One. Many centuries ago, a woman almost did believe that I don't count. She thought things were too far gone. She certainly didn't think there was anything she could do. It was only a matter of time before all the Jews would be exterminated. Her name was Esther. And Mordecai said, if you remain silent at this time, you will not only lose your own life, but God will find someone to take your place. You're not going to take my place because I'm not going anywhere. A little boy was on the seashore and he was picking up starfish, and he was throwing them back out in the ocean. This man and his wife walked by, and he said, as he looked down the seashore filled with starships on the dry land, he said, son, you're not going to make a difference. The little boy looked at him. He said, I understand, sir, but it made a difference to this one. And he flung another one out. Ah, he's got good. Oh, amen. Give preference and surrender your desires. Surrender your desires. Turn to Proverbs just for a moment. Chapter 31. You have the Bible, the Word of God with you. Turn to Proverbs chapter 31. I'm reading through it again and writing all these things down because I really like what Proverbs has to say. Proverbs chapter 31. I want to ask you a question about Solomon. Solomon, the saved man? I didn't hear you. Did he come back to Jesus? Read Ecclesiastes 12. Here it is, chapter 31, verse 8 and 9. Looking for a necklace. She said, I'd like a gold necklace with a cross. The man behind the counter looked over the stock. Open your mouth for the speechless. In the cause of all who are appointed to die, open your mouth. Judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor and needy. It's time for you to open your mouth and speak up for God. Speak up for those who have lost their voice. What do you say? It's time we stand up for God. Sometimes we have to give our preference, even to the ones closest to us. A little levity. As a speech pathologist, I often ask patients to tell me a personal story in order to get them to open up. Here's one man's tale. My friend wanted a boat more than anything else. His wife kept refusing. His wife said, you don't need one. He bought one anyway. I'll tell you what, he told her, in the spirit of compromise, why don't you name the boat? Being a good sport, she accepted. And when her husband went to the dock for the maiden voyage, this is the name he saw painted on the boat for sale. Sale. Give preference for others. Number four, look at ways to meet needs. Look at ways to meet needs. Number four. The book of Proverbs says in chapter 3, 9, honor the Lord with all your wealth, with all the first fruits of your crops, and your barns will be what? Say it with me. Full. Chapter 10 and verse 7 of Scripture. The memory of the righteous will be a blessing, but the name of the wicked will not. How will you be remembered? As a stingy person, or one who lived up for God. Number five, don't overreact when you are hurt. You catch this? Don't what? When you're hurt. Observation bless those who curse you. And the key is discernment. Don't overreact. Oh, many a church has died here. Do you know that? In a fit of anger, you will say something you can never take back again. Are you with me? You will say something you cannot take back. And you know when you've gone too far. I remember arguing with my brother. We used to play in the field down by our house in New Hampshire. And we would take we'd sharpen the stick and we would put crab apples on them. And of course, you know what we did? We shot them at what? Each other. Well, most of the time we missed. Well, one time he hit me in the back of the head, and I turned around and said, I hate you. And I was just a little young boy then. Oh, did that hurt? He said, I'm sorry. Well, if you knew my brother, he wasn't really sorry. He couldn't wait to throw another one. You know? So we got home, and I went over to him, and I said, I'm sorry for what I said. Don't overreact when you're hurt. And by the way, don't make a decision when you're down. Don't do that. Proverbs is so valuable. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. I love that. Turn to James 3 quickly. Hey, is this a good message? I pray it is. You know how much time I put in a simple message? A lot of time. This morning I was up at 2 o'clock. And then at 4 o'clock. And after that it was just o'clock, o'clock, o'clock. Oh, clock. James 3, 5 to 12. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Oh, my. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets us on fire. The course of nature, it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile or creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no one can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God, the Father. With it we what? Say it with me. Curse man. Kind of hails back to what I just said. You can't love a God you haven't seen, claim to love him, and hate a brother you have seen. And by the way, you're not going to go to heaven with that. Did you know that? I'm not a prophet, but let me read you something. If you have your Bible, turn to Galatians 6, please, quickly. Galatians, the sixth chapter. I mean the fifth chapter. If you have it there. Galatians chapter 5. By the way, you don't have to go home for dinner. We have it here. That means I can keep preaching, you know. Okay, here it is. Galatians chapter 5. I want you to catch this. This is the longest list of sins or one of the longest in the Bible. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh, listen to this, lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness. I agree with that. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will what? Say it with me. Not inherit the kingdom of heaven. I did not say that Paul did. You're not going to heaven with that. Identify with others in pain and pleasure. I'm sure I told you this, but it bears repeating. Christy and I were married in 1967. And we had a little trailer on top of a hill in New Hampshire. I made sure my wife took care of the children. And I worked three jobs to do that. I wanted her with our children. And I remember, you know, one day coming home, and my wife was out mowing the lawn with my son bouncing up and down on her lap. And I watched that. I said, what a woman. What a woman. What a life. I want to be with this woman until Jesus comes. Identify with others. I remember spending a time beside John Williams about a year ago, before I came here from Oregon. He played guitar. This guy played for, he played with Chet Atkins. He played with Johnny Cash. He played with every major group in the United States. Most of them he played with. Was on the Opry, John Williams. And he could play a guitar like something else. Well, his heart gave out. And Christine and I went to the Eugene Hospital in Eugene, Oregon. And my wife and I anointed him. And I remember saying to John, John, I love you. He said, I love you too. He had already told me, I'm going to give you a guitar, which he did. A gold guitar. And we talked about Jesus. Imagine now, when you fall asleep, it's too late to change it. Is it not? So the last moments of a person's life are very important. I said, John, and I had asked him this before, are you ready to meet Jesus? Is everything all right between you and your brothers and sisters and Jesus Christ? He said, I'm ready. I'm ready to meet the Lord. Can you connect with people in pain? Do you know what it's like to have pain in your life? Raise your hand if you do. You've gone through the valley of the shadow of death. You don't stay in the valley. You go through the valley. Say amen to that. You're traveling through to Emmanuel's land. Number 7, be a connector. Romans chapter 12, and read it in your notes there. Romans chapter 12 and verse 16. Be a connector with people. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. The key observation, be open and accepting. Open and accepting. 8, complimentary. Treat people with respect. They deserve to be treated with respect. Do you agree with that? Yes. In Guidepost, Joanne Jones writes, "During my second year of nursing school, our professor gave us a pop quiz. I breezed through the questions until I read the last one." Oh, listen. "What is the first name of the woman who cleans our school?" Surely this was some kind of a joke. I had seen the cleaning woman several times, but how would I know her name? I handed in my paper, leaving the last question blank. Before the class ended, one student asked if the last question would count toward the final grade. "Absolutely," the professor said. "In your careers, you will meet many people. All are significant. They deserve your attention." I love that. I love that. Do you? I love it. Listen to what the Bible says there in 12:17. "Repay no one evil for evil, and have regard for the good things in the sight of men." I want you to do me a favor. It'll wake you up a little. Stand up with me. Just stand up. If I can stand, you can stand too. We're almost done. I want you to pick someone near you, and I want you to tell them something significant about them. Can you do that? You meet all the time at church. Pick someone you even know. If you want to pick someone you know, go ahead. Now this is the church. This is the way the church should be. All right. Be complimentary. I want to allow for at least two people to tell me what you said. And those who heard it, tell me how you heard it. Do we have two people who'll do that? Two people. What did you say and how did you hear it? Do I have two volunteers? Right here. Okay, go right ahead. Wes and Tricia. Oh, there's a mic right here. I want you to hear this now. Then I want to make room for one more couple.
One, two, three.
There you go. Wes, what did you... Go ahead, Tricia.
I'm a newcomer, but since I've been here, I told him that he is very generous and caring, and I've noticed that about him.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful, Tricia.
I told her that I loved the way she dressed, her beautiful shirt.
Oh, isn't that beautiful? Thank you. Another couple. Somebody else. Anybody else going to volunteer to be vulnerable? Over here. Okay.
I didn't hold my hand up. Okay, I'm holding the mic up. I told her she was beautiful.
Oh my.
And I told him he was handsome.
Oh my, oh my, oh my.
I'm not done.
Yes.
And then I told him he needed to redo his check because he was $5 off of what the written part was.
Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Oh, my. That's wonderful. Wonderful, Jim. Aren't you glad you're in church today? Amen? All right, let's wind through this. Number 9, determine what's worth dying for. There are some mountains you do not want to climb. They're not worth climbing. Am I right with that? Some mountains you don't want to climb. I mean, it's not worth it. Years ago, I was in a church. Back then, I was a lot younger than I am now. I didn't have any gray hair. I was young, two young children, younger children, you know. And somebody in the church did some things that really hurt me. And you know that stayed with me a while. How many of you had that? Come on, be honest. It stayed with me. Whenever that name came up, what did I think about? Because what he did was really wrong. Well, guess what? Fast forward, I hadn't seen this man since 1987 or 88. I'm at Arizona at the book center. Oh, my. And we're going through books. Oh, I'm telling you, Jesus is funny. He's humorous. I look over, and who do you think it was? Who was it? Sam. I went. And then it came back. And I said, that's foolish. That's foolish. So he walked over to me. Hi, how are you, Pastor Gale? I said, I'm doing the best I can. He said, that's great. And his wife spoke up. And he said, have you ever made any mistakes in life? I said, yes, I have. He said, so have I. And that's where we dropped it. Are you with me? All right. You're with me. Look at verse 18 of Romans chapter 12. If at all possible, if it depends on you, live peaceably for all men. Keep peace. That's the observation. When you can, and take a stand when the issues are clearly biblical. If they're biblical, you need to take a stand. Last, let the Lord defend you. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance belongs to who? To the Lord. It does not belong to you. Keep peace when you can. It doesn't belong to you. So let the Lord defend you. Let the Lord defend you. You have your Bible? Read, in closing, Romans 12, 19 to 21. Let's read it. Let the Lord defend you. 19 through 21. Beloved, do not avenge yourself. Rather, give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. Oh, yes, sure. If he thirsts, give him a drink, for in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on whose head? His head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Thank you, Jesus. When you're kind to somebody that can't stand you, you heap coals. They feel like, what a loser I am. I never should have hurt that man or that woman the way I did. Oh, my. Sometimes we're guilty, you know. We are guilty. Listen to this. Sam insisted that he was not the man in the photograph, the man authorities suspected of defrauding a computer chip company. In fact, Sam said the man looked nothing like him. The FBI agent asked him to take another look. No, said Sam, that's not me. The agent pressed on. Do you recognize anything about the man? Anything at all? No, Sam repeated. Well, how about the hat? Does that look familiar? No. Why do you ask? Well, because you're wearing it. All right. As we wind down, a woman walked in to a jewelry store in Denver, Colorado. Looking for a necklace. She said, I'd like a gold necklace with a cross. The man behind the counter looked over the stock in his display case and said, "This is amazing. Don't miss this, folks. Do you want a plain one, or do you want one with a little man on it?" "Lord, I want a dynamic church. I want a church that puts Jesus first. I want a Savior that saved me from my sins. I don't want to live every day in a blasé attitude. I want to be ready to go home with Jesus Christ." In short, oh, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I pray that the Lord God bless you with this message today, that God spoke to your heart as He's speaking to mine. You're a wonderful church. I want you to know something. I want you to tell yourself, we're a beautiful church. We're the best church there is in North America Division. Why do I want you to do that? Because how you look at yourself determines how you look at each other. You got that? I've got it. Let's pray. Father God, oh, what a God. Oh, what a God. Oh, what a God thou art. Oh, our Father, forgive us, we pray, our sins, and make us like Jesus. As we surrender all in our life, mold us, make us, keep us, save us at last. For just over the mountain in the promised land lies a city built by God's own hand. We want to go home, Lord. We want to go home. You're waiting. The mansions are done. Bless us as we leave this house of worship and go home to live out what we want lived in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me, girls. You want police right up for you?
You can stay there.
It's all right. I'll just sit here. You're a good girl, you know. You're a sweetheart.
Please stand.
Let me walk with Thee, my God, as Enoch walked in days of old. Place Thou my trembling hand in Thine, and sweet communion with me hold. Even the path I may not see, yet Jesus, let me walk with Thee. I cannot, dare not walk alone. The tempest rages in the sky. A thousand snares beset my feet. A thousand foes are lurking nigh. Still though the raging of the sea, O Master, let me walk with Thee. If I may rest my hand in Thine, I'll count the joys of earth but lost, and firmly, bravely journey on. I'll bear the banner of the cross, 'tis Zion's glorious pains I see. Yet Savior, let me walk.
We call it, and we're going to be talking about birthdays. One of our friends has a birthday tomorrow, and we're going to celebrate that Turn to the person beside you and say, oh, it was good to be here today. Good to be here today. God bless you. Oh, Cherie, you're a sweetheart. You're such a sweet girl. God bless you, saints. I love you.